This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. You know how you used to hear and read a lot of stories about the calculations people were making about whether to buy a house or just keep on renting? You don't hear quite so many of them nowadays, do you? That's because for more and more of us, it's not a choice. Despite years of record low interest rates and a healthier economy, every year fewer people can afford to buy a median-priced home. Millions fewer people. And that, as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports, is changing the way one huge part of the housing market works.
It's a hot Saturday morning, and members of the Las Vegas Runners Group are trickling into Grouchy John's coffee shop. Before long, the funky, art-filled space is full of sweaty and winded locals reviewing their runs over coffee and pastries.
So 7.3 miles round. We started here in the park and we finished here.
That's Christy Macer. When she's not running, she works as a banquet server in Vegas. She's been renting a condo not far off the strip and would like to buy a house. But so far, no luck.
It's ridiculous.
And she thinks she knows why.
A lot of people from out of town are coming in just to buy up the rental properties for income properties, and they're paying cash. They'd rather take a cash buyer than somebody who needs to finance.
Some of those investors are actually big companies, like Invitation Homes and American Homes for Rent, which have been snapping up houses since the financial crisis and turning them into rentals. So far, these kinds of investors control just a tiny slice of the market, a few hundred thousand homes nationwide. But compared to most individual real estate investors, their holdings are huge. And now, these corporate landlords may be getting a boost from the government.
This is the first time Fannie Mae has provided financing for institutional single-family rental properties.
That's Lori Goodman of the Urban Institute. Fannie Mae is a government agency that backs mortgages for investors and homeowners. Goodman is referring to the billion-dollar deal it recently did with Invitation Homes, which owns almost 50,000 homes in more than a dozen markets. Until now, Fannie capped investors at 10 homes. Jeffrey Hayward heads up the multifamily unit at Fannie Mae.
So if the market decides it wants to be a rental market, we have a thriving rental finance business, and we want to be there to serve low, middle, moderate workforce.
Hayward says the Invitation deal is a learning opportunity for Fannie Mae, which will have access to the company's data.
We should have a real sense of what it costs to operate these properties, what some of the best management practices are, so that you could set standards for expanding as the single-family rental ownership market changes.
But one agency's teachable moment is another group's idea of corporate welfare. Julia Gordon is with the National Community Stabilization Trust, which brings together financial institutions and community developers to help repair blighted neighborhoods.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac can lend really inexpensively because we, the taxpayers, stand behind them. That advantage should be used to help the people who are not being helped by the private sector.
Yet, Gordon recognizes the deal could do some good if it helps Fannie find ways to bring down the costs of renting.
What I hope it means is that they've used this deal to figure out how to work productively in the single-family rental space, and that they'll use that learning to go forward and work to support more affordability.
Affordability. Christy Macer could get used to a little of that. Back at the coffee shop, she says she's so frustrated with her marathon house hunt.
I've lost hope. It's disheartening.
But she's going to keep looking and wait for the prices and competition to eventually die down. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.